So it is good to be back with God's people. We were gone for two Sundays. We went on a cruise down to Mexico. And then we spent 3 days helping my son, who just bought his first house in Spokane, Washington, helping him work on we ended up doing drywall and then plaster. And then spent some time with Karen's parents. I spent a day with them, and then Karen and her siblings were down there in Coeur d'Alene. Spent the time with them, with her parents. So it was a good time. Good time to be away and good time to be back. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to look at 7 through 11. We are in our series, or back in our series, New Year, New Habits. There we go. So we've seen, and I just confirmed it again this morning or yesterday, just double checking these statistics, that 92% of our New Year resolutions fail. We stop, don't fulfill them, and 78% of them are done by February. So I've encouraged us to establish new habits or renew old habits to flourish, to bring about change in our lives in 2023. Habits are those little things that we do consistently over time that leads to change in our lives. And in our current series, New Year, New Habits, we're looking at some, not all of them, but some of the spiritual habits and practices. They're called spiritual disciplines that God uses to change us and make us more like Jesus. So we've looked at habits such as spending time in the Word, praying, community. Sky, a couple weeks ago, preached on serving. And next week, we'll finish up. Actually, we're 2 weeks, this week and next week. This week, I'm teaching on hospitality. Next week, we'll talk about generosity. Then we'll get back into Exodus and hopefully finish Exodus in 4 or 5 weeks and then go into a three-week Christmas. I'm planning ahead. 3 week Easter series coming into Easter, and then we'll pick up something after that. So today I want to look at the habit that many of us may not think is a spiritual habit or spiritual practice, spiritual discipline that brings about spiritual change. We're going to look at hospitality, and a quick Google search will result in two things that are most prominent on the page there, that when you do a Google search on hospitality. One is the hospitality industry, all about the hospitality industry. And then it's Martha Stewart. And so we're not going to talk about Martha Stewart today. Some of you women probably are disappointed. Martha is all about entertaining, and there is value. Nothing wrong with Martha Stewart or entertaining, but the Bible or biblical hospitality is a bit something different that I want to look at today. Biblical hospitality is rooted in the gospel. We welcome others because God has welcomed us. We welcome others because God has welcomed us. And it's interesting that in Scripture, associated with the idea of hospitality is being welcoming, warm and welcoming others. So as a means of grace, or a means of God's grace, by practicing hospitality, we position ourselves for one of the ways that God uses, ordinary means of which God uses to change us and make us look more like Jesus and those we serve through hospitality to help bring about change in their lives. So today's message is pursue hospitality, very simple, pursue hospitality. And we're looking at 1 Peter 1, 4, 7. Actually, 7 through 11. So Peter, inspired by the Spirit, grounds hospitality in the return of Jesus Christ. He says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, practice, be sober-minded, self-control, for the sake of your prayers. Above all, love one another earnestly." It's easy to still overlook that word earnestly. Some of us like to be loving, but we don't want to be loving earnestly. That is diligently. And then he says to pursue or practice hospitality ungrudgingly. That is gladly. And as Sky said, the end of all things is speaking of the consummation of all things with the return of Jesus Christ. and the consummation of God's plan for all of creation. And he encourages us to live. So Peter encourages us to live in light of eternity. And one of the implications or responses of that is to love one another earnestly by showing glad hospitality to one another. And so my big idea today is hospitality is gladly opening up my heart and my home with a hope of pointing others to Jesus. Gladly opening up my heart and my home to others with the hope of pointing them to Jesus. You could say be an extension of grace, serving them, loving on them, listening to people. And so Peter shares three truths about hospitality in this text. He, first of all, tells us to pursue hospitality diligently. We see that in verse 7. Second of all, he tells us to practice hospitality. I'm sorry, this is in verse 8. Then he tells us to practice hospitality gladly. And we see that in verse 9. And then verse 11 tells us about the power of hospitality, the power of hospitality. And so let's listen as 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 is read for us.
First Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the rich tradition of hospitality all the way back from in the garden where God created a home for Adam and Eve and he welcomed them in it. To Abraham, who, in showing hospitality to three strangers, was showing hospitality to God. To Jesus, who is the ultimate host, always showing hospitality to those who didn't deserve it. And the ultimate insider, who was rejected and killed outside the gate, excluded, so we could be included in God's family. Lord, I pray that as we look at hospitality, I pray, Lord, that you would give us light to our minds, give us clarity on what it means to show hospitality gladly. Lord, and that you would also give heat to our hearts, Lord, that your Spirit would not just help us to understand, but to warm our hearts, to raise our affections and our desires and our faith, to practice or to pursue and to practice hospitality as a means of your grace in our lives and in the lives of those we serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so for my first point is pursue hospitality intentionally, and that should be 4:9. I have 4:7. For some reason. So we see this in pursuing hospitality intentionally. We see this in verse 9. Keep loving one another by showing hospitality to one another. The Apostle Paul uses even stronger language in Romans 12:13, where he says, seek to show hospitality. That the verb seek there means to strive after or to pursue. That is, to go after it. As a man goes after a woman in a relationship, or as a hunter goes after his game, Or you might say, as a police officer goes after a speeding vehicle, we are to pursue hospitality. We are to go after it, to make it a habit, to make it a lifestyle as Christians. So we pursue hospitality out of our love for Jesus Christ and his people. He says to show hospitality to one another, that is, to our spiritual family. Hospitality is an expression of familial love, of family love. The most frequent metaphor to describe the church in the New Testament is family, because family is the most intimate of human relationships that expresses, or that can express, our love and our closeness of the common bond that we have in Jesus Christ. People will tell me sometimes is that they don't connect with people, or I haven't found community. But the reality is that in Christ, we are made a family. And in Christ, community is not found, but community is created, community is made. If community, in the New Testament, if community was made between Jews and Gentiles, even though they had struggles, even though they had difficulties, was created and made, and Paul says, united by the Spirit, then you and I can create and make community with those who are different from us, those who are unlike us, as well as those we who are like us and are the same or similar to us. I remember there's a couple that were part of our church, have since moved down to Spokane. We actually saw them when we were down there, Huck and Sam Bishop. And Huck and Sam came to CCC right after they had gotten married, and they would describe themselves as hippie Christians because their views were that way, or no, that way. And so over the course of time of building community with them, being in a life group with them, and them actually hosting our life group for a period of time, and sharing with them and pouring into them and caring for them and teaching them and shaping them, their lives, not just their thinking changed, but their relationship changed and their lives changed. And even through some of the difficulties that they face in the loss of a child and just other medical issues, there was a bond that was created between us, Karen and me, and them, because not just because of the bond that we have in Christ, but because of the community that we had developed with them. They see us like parents, surrogate parents. And so when we go down to Spokane, we have to stop and see them. We have to have dinner with them. Or I should say, we get to have dinner with them. My actually son, Daniel, was living with them up until he just bought his house. And so we were able to spend 2 nights with them and just hang out and spend time to catch up and see how they're doing and encouraging them. Let me encourage you that God, if CCC is your home, God has called you here to be family. So not everybody's going to feel like a brother and sister. Some of us are going to feel like cousins, distant cousins. Some of us are going to feel like the odd cousin or the cousin that we put up with, right? Because they're family. So hospitality is an expression of familial love. Biblical hospitality is not about personality. Whether I'm an introvert or an extrovert, it's who you are drawn to, who you get along with, or who thinks the way you do. That might make it easier, right? But God doesn't call us to community to those people who are just like us. He calls us to community with people who are unlike us, because that forces us to grow. That forces us to rely on grace and seek the power of the Spirit in our lives so that we can learn to love one another. You know, it's always easy to love people you don't know very well. It's always easy to love those who are most like you. And everybody loves somebody until they get to know them. Because we are sinful, we will hurt one another, we will disappoint one another. And the goal of community is to learn to love one another despite one another. And that can't be accomplished naturally and humanly. It can only be accomplished supernaturally by the power of the Spirit, relying on His grace. Because if the gospel is true, that means that it promises to change and transform us. And one of the ways the gospel changes and transforms us is through our relationship with Jesus Christ, but through our relationship in community, our relationships in community. As I said, we can't love this way from within our own natural abilities, our own natural resources, but it's God, grace-driven and spirit and power. The capacity to love others earnestly comes from trusting God, the eternal fountain of love. It's easy to love people at a distance. It's much harder to love people up close. If you want to be more loving, pursue or cultivate your relationship with Jesus and His people. And I know that some, particularly families, young families with young children, hospitality can seem overwhelming. And for others, you just don't want hospitality. You want to be left alone. You want your own space. But God calls us to show hospitality. The command to show hospitality, practice hospitality, is to all of us. That means all of us have the privilege, have the responsibility, have the joy of showing hospitality to one another. And maybe you do not want hospitality for yourself, but I guarantee you that there are desperate people in our church who need your hospitality as a means of grace in their lives. We are called to show hospitality to family, to our spiritual family, but we're also called to show hospitality to the outsider, to the stranger, to those who are different than us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, the writer of Hebrews says, "Let brotherly love continue." That is, don't stop it. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now, strangers can be people you don't know, can be people of different ethnicities, can be people who are radically unlike you, could be your neighbor or somebody across the country. Could be those who do not know Christ. And God calls us as insiders to show hospitality to the strangers, to the outsiders, to those who are unlike us, because Israel knew what it was like to be an outsider, unwelcomed in Egypt, yet found grace and welcomed it to be God's people. It tells us that in Leviticus 19, verse 33 and 34. In the Exodus, God fed Israel. He provided for them. He clothed them, and He took them home. And in the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus teaches us that to love our neighbors, to love everyone and anyone who crosses our path in life. So we show hospitality to the outsider and treat them as insiders because we once were outsiders, yet God has welcomed us into His kingdom so that we are now insiders. Rosario Butterfield is a Christian writer. She's written a few books. One of the books she has written is called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And her own testimony is that she was pursued by a pastor and his wife, even though Rosario wrote to the husband, because he had written a letter to the editor, in a newspaper, in a local newspaper, and she responded because she wanted to know why Christians hated homosexuals or lesbians. She was a lesbian in a lesbian relationship. And she was surprised to find that this pastor and his wife didn't hate them, but loved her. And the way they expressed that was through the gospel and inviting her over to their house. And over the course of time, she became a Christian and left her relationship. And now she's married to a pastor. And she has someone, now this is not for everybody, but she has somebody in her house 7 days a week. She always has a pot on the stove, so they can always have somebody. It's very simple and very inexpensive, she says, but it costs them time, it costs them their treasures, and it costs them to show hospitality. They show hospitality not just to their church, but to their neighbors. She talks about her neighbor who was arrested because he had a meth lab in his house, and how they reached out to him and showed hospitality to him even after he was arrested. It's a great book, an inspiring book. Rosario Butterfield, The Gospel Comes with a House Key. God calls us to show hospitality to those who are unlike us, who are not like us, who will burden us, because in the gospel, God welcomes outsiders, he welcomes the broken, he welcomes the burdened, and he welcomes the burdensome. Jesus didn't run from burdensome people, he ran towards burdensome people. So, first point is to pursue hospitality intentionally. Second of all, we are to pursue hospitality gladly. We see this in verse 9, too. We see it in the phrase, show hospitality without grumbling. That is, be the kind of people who do it and like to do it. Don't show hospitality by grumbling about the dishes, about the people, about their problems, about talking all the time. Or about dropping scraps on your freshly vacuumed floor. Be the kind of people who do it and who like to do it. This is a command to be a certain kind of person who doesn't resent being hospitable, who doesn't grumble about the cleaning, about the extra dishes, about the cost of coffee or food or other such things. Hospitality is gladly opening our heart and our home, or even buying coffee and inviting someone to lunch, inviting them into your life with the hope of serving them for the sake of the gospel. You know, Karen and I don't know, it was a month or two ago, we had a couple over from the church. And our goal was just to spend some time with them and just to talk to them, a newer couple in the church. And I don't know if it was at the end of the evening or the next day or, you know, sometime later in that week, the husband was just sharing about how we minister to them, and I had no clue that I was ministering to them. I had no agenda having them over other than to get to know them and see how the Lord would use us, just to spend time with them. There are things that happen when you invite people over and have a meal that will never happen no matter how much you try to plan it and try to make it happen. Because it's over meals or over coffee or over cookies. And if you're gluten-free, you can get gluten-free cookies or ice cream. And if you're lactose intolerant, you can get lactose-free ice cream. The coconut stuff is good, actually. It might be more expensive, but it's good. Over those kind of things that people open up their lives with each other. It breaks down barriers. It breaks down walls. One of the things we were talking about this week in one of my D groups, my discipleship groups, was just being fluent in the gospel. You know, one of the books that we read is Gospel Fluency by Jeff Vanderstelt. in our discipleship groups, and I would highly recommend it to everyone because it's a phenomenal book. Not very complicated, very simple, but it's very helpful to help us understand that the gospel touches every aspect of our life. Gospel doesn't just save us, but the gospel transforms us. We live and eat and breathe the gospel. And his point about gospel fluency is that we are to speak the gospel to one another. So when you're sharing your burdens and your hurts, you point each other back to the gospel. And how do we do that? How do we become so fluent in the gospel that it is just secondhand? It's just natural to point people to Jesus and the gospel. We're not just to listen to each other's burdens. We're to point each other to Jesus with our burdens, with our struggles, with our heartaches, with our hurts, with our hang-ups. Hospitality is inviting someone over for frozen pizza or soup or going to a coffee shop and making them feel welcome in our church or our spiritual family or help them to get connected with others in our church that they might identify with. Hospitality is inviting the lonely or the hurting or the burdensome individual over for coffee or for a meal so that they can experience grace as you talk, as you listen to their story, and as you point them to the gospel and pray for them. You know, one thing I think would be great is that every time someone from CCC, from our church family, gets together, whether it's over coffee or just talking or chatting or running into each other, and someone's talking about something that we before we leave, that we pray for one another. That's one of the things that I've decided I was going to do coming back from my sabbatical is that no matter who I talk to, when I talk to them, I would try to remember to pray for them. And for the most part, I've done that. And it has been phenomenal. It's been helpful for me. It's been helpful for them. If someone has a struggle, why would we not go to the throne of grace and ask for help in a time of need? So we've looked at pursuing hospitality intentionally, practicing hospitality gladly, and then third of all, the power of hospitality, and we see this in verse 11. Let's look at that together. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. He's talking about spiritual gifts, but he's also just talking about serving. There's a way to serve in the power of Christ that exalts Christ and his power and the gospel. And there's a way to serve in our own strength that diminishes, that is, does not make Jesus look as good and as awesome, as glorious as it is, but exalts ourselves. One is by faith in Jesus, which lifts him up. One is by unbelief, which our attempt to exalt ourselves or think I can do it. Have you ever struggled in the Christian life and someone says, just pull up your bootstraps and just grunt it out? That is not the gospel. That is anti-gospel. The hospitality is the overflow of God's hospitality to you as a good steward of his grace. We gladly pursue hospitality because it is a joyful thing to be means of God's grace in our life or the lives of others, or to be conduits of grace. We show hospitality because we love to see God's power conquer our own selfishness, our own pride, our own feelings of inadequacy. Hospitality is a response to grace that we find in the gospel and a means of grace. You know, we talked about a means of grace in Sunday school today, and Kobe did a great job teaching Sunday school today. We just talked about the ordinary things that God uses in our lives as a means of grace. Well, what do I mean by a means of grace? By means of grace, I mean that God is the God of all grace who freely lavishes his grace on us generously through Jesus Christ. He saves us by grace in the miracle of new birth and the gift of faith. And he also, by grace, he presently now supplies us with spirit life, spirit energy, spirit empowerment to become like Jesus. Let me tell you something. The normal way that God changes us and transforms us is the normal means of the Christian life. There are normal and there are spectacular, right? God works in the normal means and he works in the spectacular means. The normal means is the normal way God works. The spectacular is the unusual and the abnormal way God works. We all want God to work in the spectacular, don't we? I love it when God works in the spectacular, but he normally works in the normal. But you know why we want the spectacular? So we don't have to put any effort in it. Because we don't want to have to use the ordinary means of grace, which includes our own efforts. We don't want to have to suffer. We don't want to have to go through the pain of change. Do I believe God works in the spectacular? Yes. Would I like to see God move more spectacularly? Yes. But let me tell you something. The most spectacular thing that God ever does is to save a dead sinner spiritually and make them alive. That is the greatest miracle of all. So God is God of grace, and he supplies grace to make us like Jesus Christ. Yet becoming like Jesus Christ does not happen apart from our own effort, which is itself undergirded by grace as we exert effort by faith. So Paul says, I work with all my might. Speaking of his ministry, I work with all my might. That is, I use all my energy. He says, yep, but not I, but the grace of God with me. That is, his effort, his energy in ministering to people was undergirded by grace because he was trusting Jesus to empower him. So we position ourselves to receive grace and to grow in grace. The spiritual habits, the spiritual disciplines, the spiritual practices like hospitality are a means of this grace that brings about spirit-produced Christ-likeness. So we pursue hospitality by faith in God's power to enable us to do it joyfully, with gladly, seeking to minister, serve others, just to love on other people. And as we do that, grace is dispensed in us so that we can do it in the power of the Spirit. And grace is dispensed through us to those we are showing hospitality towards. Does that make sense? Are you following me? Okay, some people are just giving me drink stares. So there are people in our body that are phenomenal at showing hospitality. And there are people in our body who are not phenomenal in showing hospitality, but they still do it. And you know what? God uses both. You don't have to be Martha Stewart or even Matthew Stewart or Mark Stewart to show hospitality. Because hospitality is opening up your heart. It's an inner disposition. It's opening up your home. It is an inner disposition that leads to an action with the hope, welcoming them into your life, to become part of your life, with the hope of pointing them to Jesus in some way, somehow. So pursue hospitality intentionally, practice hospitality gladly, and experience the power of hospitality in your life and the lives of others as we serve them when we show hospitality. So what is our response? So let me close with 5 points of application. 5 points of application. First of all, start by inviting your neighbors, your coworkers, and your females into your home. Just invite people in your home. Those you work with, your neighbors. Maybe it'd be a good idea to go meet your neighbors. Go say hi to them, make them cookies, or buy them cookies from Safeway, as bad as they can be at times. Make it simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be a 3-course meal. Just do soup and bread. That's what we do. And people don't always like our soup, but that's okay. We like it. Someone identifies with that. Somebody's been in my house. Now, we eat pretty healthy, so, you know, we always think, well, are they going to like this? Well, what are you eating tonight? Kale again. And tofu. No, we don't eat tofu. Tofu is terrible. Second of all, start eating with your own spiritual family. Start eating with your own spiritual family. We as a family should be eating together. And I'm not saying to eat with everybody, but there are, like, your life group should be eating together. Your relationships, your ministry partnerships should be eating together. We should be, if we're a spiritual family, we should know what the inside of each other's house looks like. And again, things will happen over a meal or even over coffee or even over sugar. Decaf coffee is probably better because they can get out of hand with caffeinated coffee. But it will never happen, that will happen over a meal that will never happen when you try to make it happen. Third of all, invite friends, coworkers, and neighbors to your spiritual home. That is, invite them to a Sunday service, invite them to your life group, invite them to men's breakfast or women's Bible study. Invite them to your spiritual home. Offer to pick them up because it can be intimidating to come into a church by yourself when you don't know what's going to happen or what's going to take place. And there's also spiritual warfare. The enemy doesn't want them to come. Fourth, be welcoming to your spiritual family and newcomers on Sunday morning. And again, welcoming others is not about personality. It's about hospitality. So that's what I'm going to challenge everybody. If you call CC your home, draw a 10-foot circle around your chair that you are sitting in or that you like to sit in. And choose to welcome everybody in that 10-foot circle, particularly those people that are newcomers or strangers. You know, every year when we do our membership class, the CCC 101, which we're doing at the end of March again, one of the common denominators, common reasons why people come here is that they feel the community and they felt welcome here. Because we are a very welcoming, loving church. And that's not because I'm such a great pastor, Sky and I are such great pastors, it's because of the work of the gospel. Because we put an emphasis on the word, the power of the word and the power of the spirit to change us. And we look to community to encourage us and to support us and to be instruments of God's grace in each other's lives. Welcome and greet those who you do not know. Or join the greeter team and welcome family, friends, and newcomers once a month. If you're not serving at CCC, that is an easy way to start serving. Just be a greeter. All you have to do is smile. I know that might be difficult for some of you, but just smile. Put your hand out and welcome somebody to your spiritual home. I still remember a guy that came to our church. I don't even remember their names, but there were a couple that moved from Anchorage to Homer, and because they needed to break away from they were addicts and break away from their friends and their relationships in Anchorage, and they came here, and Galen Gordon hugged the husband and welcomed him the first day he was here. And I forgot his name. He's a Christian now, and he's gone through a program up in Anchorage. He's back up in Anchorage. And what's that? Wayne, that's right, Wayne. I couldn't remember Wayne. This is off the top of my head. But Wayne. Wayne was a great guy. Wayne and Sheree, I mean, they would take three steps and fall down. They would take five steps and fall down because they were struggling. And but Wayne says the reason why they came back to CCC was because Galen Gordon came up, welcomed him, and hugged him. And now he knows Jesus and is serving the Lord. Join our greeter team. And then finally, host a life group in your home. Or even consider starting a life group. If you're interested in starting a life group, you come see us. I would encourage all of our life groups to have a meal once a month, at least once a month. It's a great time to invite people and include people into the life groups. Okay, so as we move to celebrating the Lord's Supper, you are invited to participate with us. If you know Jesus Christ, if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you're part of a local church, whether here or where you live. And as we respond to the gospel, all that Jesus has done for us in the Lord's Supper, I want to remind us what Jesus did on the cross for us in relationship to this topic of hospitality. The one who should have been welcomed by his people was rejected and treated as an outsider. He suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. He suffered outside the gates of Jerusalem so we could be insiders. Welcome into God's family. Jesus Christ was the ultimate insider, was thrown outside the gates and killed. That is the opposite of hospitality. On the cross, outside the gates, Jesus said, my God, why has you forsaken me? In our place, Jesus became an outsider, paying the price for our sin so that God now welcomes you and me into his family. Jesus was made homeless so God could give us his radical hospitality and welcome us into his family. Paul says this in Ephesians 2, you who once were separated from Christ, alienated and sojourners, but are now members of the household of God. Jesus died on a cross outside the gate so that we could have a place in God's household. And as members of God's household, of God's family, we look forward to our eternal home, the city that is to come, the New Jerusalem and the new creation. And in that city, what we lost in the fall and what we have longed for is the tree of life and the Garden of Eden. And one day, God will finally open up the gates of our eternal home and welcome you and me into the final feast with Jesus as the ultimate host. You will be home. I will be home. And the longings of our heart will be found there in eternity with Jesus. And so we pursue hospitality intentionally because God has been shown radical hospitality to us. And though we were his enemies, wanderers in exile, strangers and aliens, he welcomed us in because of what Jesus did for us. And we're to practice hospitality gladly, joyfully. Because it's what we are, when we show hospitality, it is a response to the gospel, to grace in our lives. And as we do it, we will experience the power of the gospel. The power of hospitality as a means of grace, breaking down our own selfishness and self-centeredness so that we're streams of life rather than cul-de-sacs of selfish self-centeredness. So as you come to the Lord's table today, eat and drink freely of Jesus. To be nourished, to be fed, to walk out of here and to be a hospitable person to be a people who are characterized by hospitality. Because God has shown such great radical hospitality to us in the gospel. Pray and partake. Father, we thank you for the radical hospitality that you have shown towards us, your enemies, wanderers in exile, longing and looking for a home that only you can provide. We thank you that you've welcomed us in by the gospel, that we're part of your household. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be a people, because we so relish in what you've done in our lives, that we want to share that hospitality, same hospitality, with others. And so, Lord, we come to you looking for strength as we take the body and the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with this doxology. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. And all God's people said, go in the grace and peace of Jesus Christ and in the power of his Spirit. In Jesus' name.